This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Doing a number of political candidate interviews this time of year with the ballots already out in the mail for the May primary election, State Senator David Brock Smith, we often talk to about what's happening in Salem, but we're going to focus this one a bit more on what's happening as he is in the Republican primary seeking the nomination to go after Jeff Merkley in the November campaign. David, thanks for being on today.
Thank you, Kyle.
So now you are in Salem today. Anything particularly interesting going on up there?
There is actually. Today is, of course, the National Day of Prayer across the country, and we plan on attending the ceremony in the Capitol Rotunda, which I don't know has ever occurred before. So I look forward to heading into the office here and getting some legislative work done before that occurs this evening at 6.
So you are campaigning for U.S. Senate. You announced that a ways back. There are a few other folks running in the primary as well. How do you feel like that's going for you at this point?
Well, I feel great. It's been a great campaign so far. I mean, I announced on the 3rd of March we were still in legislative session. There was reason for the delay because I wanted to make sure that we could protect the $35 million that we still carried forward for the third veterans home to be built in Roseburg, and a number of pieces of legislation that were critically important, saving Berea Hospital, moving forward with the farm store stand piece of legislation to protect our farmers and ranchers that want to diversify their operations. And it's been a fantastic opportunity to speak with Oregonians from across the state. I've been in Eastern Oregon and Northeast Oregon and from the North Coast to the South Coast and Southern Oregon. And really what's resonating is that people are frustrated with the current government control, not just in Salem, but also in D.C., they're frustrated with Senator Merkley's lack of focus on Oregonians and things for Oregon, especially in Eastern Oregon, considering our ranchers over there have serious issues with the wolf packs that are killing their cattle. And their Congressman Cliff Bentz has, of course, passed legislation through the House in D.C., but it's held up in the Senate because our two senators, Senator Wyden and Senator Merkley, refused to allow it to move forward. Go ahead.
Well, when you looked at running, one of the challenges I've noticed over the years to being in Congress when you're in Oregon is the fact that D.C. is the opposite end of the country, which poses all kinds of issues for travel and can, frankly, be a very tiring schedule.
Oh, my goodness. Well, yes. But as you know, Kyle, I'm a grind for my constituents and Oregonians in the state Senate. I'm not really worried about the traveling from Oregon to D.C. for the work in the United States Senate. What I'm worried about is how critically important this election is for Oregonians, not just in this U.S. Senate seat, but across the campaigns with our governor and the state Senate and state House. Oregonians are done with a lack of affordability, accountability. They need economic prosperity across our state. And frankly, Senator Merkley has never had a opponent with my qualifications and knowledge and experience and understanding of the work that I've done in the Oregon House and the Oregon Senate as a former city councilor and county commissioner that I can bring to this race. And I think you and many of our constituents know and listeners know that having a qualified and competent candidate at the top of the ticket is going to help our Republican nominee win in November, as well as to bring balance to the House and Senate in Salem to help elect more Republican state senators and state House representatives. And that is the focus of our campaign, and we have a plan, a path, and the team to get it done.
One of the big challenges when it comes to running a statewide campaign, especially for U.S. Senate, is money. And also the odds always favor, unless you have somebody who's been involved in something that's gotten a lot of bad attention, the possibility of unseating a U.S. senator, whether they're in either party, whichever party they're in, is statistically extremely hard to do. What made you take the shot?
Well, I'll be turning 50 this year, Kyle, and I've spent half my life serving the public in various roles. In fact, probably more elected or appointed experience in different positions than any other legislator serving in Oregon at the moment. And it has given me the experience and the education to take this opportunity on. Raising funds for campaigns is always problematic. It's been something that I've been doing ever since I jumped into the race. And we're doing pretty well because people are excited about the opportunity to have a qualified candidate take a shot at retiring Senator Merkley after his nearly 18 years in the United States Senate.
If you were elected, are there particular committee assignments you would hope to get? Obviously, going in as a freshman, you don't always get what you ask for at the beginning, but just given the issues in Oregon, where would you try to land in terms of committee assignments?
I appreciate that question, Kyle. I would be highly focused on our natural resource, energy, and environment issues as I've focused in the legislature, as well as our veterans. That has been my focus in the Oregon legislature, and I hope to continue those opportunities in the United States Senate. We've been able to do some incredible work, and I'm grateful for, of course, Commissioner Freeman's leadership, as well as that of Commissioner Kress and Commissioner Boyce in Douglas County, and moving forward with the Association of ONC Counties and that work to increase the receipts and payments to counties from 50 to 75%. And we've talked about before, Kyle, my work in the Council of State Governments West, which encompasses the 13 Western states from Wyoming to Alaska and Hawaii, and my co-chair position for the Wildfire and Disaster Preparedness Committee, and our work in moving forward our united voices in these Western states to have Congress and, of course, the Trump administration front load resources to these Western states so that we can get more wildland firefighters into the fuel reduction work in the off season, more local logs to local mills, and grow that economic opportunity and job sector once again, and also mitigating catastrophic wildfire while we do it. And so we're doing that. I mean, and you can see some results from that work in those partnerships and the administration moving the Forest Service activities in headquarters to the west into Utah. And as we're heading into fire season this year, we're all gearing up with the Oregon Department of Forestry, USFS, and BLM to be prepared for what is to come.
Now, speaking of the Forest Service move, some have felt like all of this going on right now, all this discussion, any of the plans, et cetera, is taking away from the Forest Service efforts to do wildfire mitigation and to get ready for fire season. And some people feel like they're kind of behind.
Well, I'm sure there are some people that feel that way, but it needed to be done, and it needed to be done sooner. We have fantastic partnerships with the USFS, BLM, and our Douglas Forest Protection Association and Oregon Department of Forestry. I have drafted many bills in this space, and we passed a few to help deal with this. When it comes to mitigation, my former colleague, Senator Bonham, and I drafted in 2018 in the legislation that created the Good Neighbor Authority, which strengthened the partnerships for wildfire mitigation and timber projects, wherein we can work with within the U.S. Forest Service to get those trees on the ground and mitigate for catastrophic wildfire. And so we are, I know the administration is moving ahead and being as forward-thinking as possible. And I'm grateful for the partnerships that the USFS and BLM have with our local firefighters and our Douglas Forest Protection Association, Coos Forest Protection Association, and Oregon Department of Forestry. And these moves will only help strengthen those relationships, having things more local on the west side of the country rather than trying to dictate out of D.C.
Now, as a U.S. senator, you would be weighing in a lot of national, international matters, all of that. Does that make you pay attention to things like the Iran conflict and other related things a bit more these days?
Well, I've always been one to kind of look at the world political scheme. And when it comes to especially my work on the Senate Committee on Veterans, Emergency Preparedness, and Federal and World Affairs, I'm interested in Iran's offer recently of not wanting to enrich uranium. But frankly, after nearly 50 years of being the number one state sponsor of terror and the lives of Americans and that of the Middle East at risk, I think we have an opportunity here to really have a generational peace within the Middle East and the ability to bring and give the Persians back their lives and society and country again so that they can flourish.
What are some of the other issues you would focus on if you were a U.S. senator?
Well, thank you, Kyle. There's a number of issues that are facing our nation. We need to be more energy independent within the United States. Just within the Pacific Northwest alone, we have the need for opportunities to have more energy. We need to cut through the bureaucratic tape when it comes to transmission and so that we can have more transmission lines and allow for growth. We need to deal with, again, our natural resource issues and have the opportunities to be able to mitigate wildfire through forest management that is critically important to Oregon as well as the western United States. We need to deal with our struggling healthcare and make sure that we can keep healthcare affordable for not just Oregonians, but Americans. We need to make sure that we deal with the waste, fraud, and abuse that is coming across the news seemingly every day in the hundreds of billions of dollars that has been abused in fraudulent activities across this country. And we need to focus on the opportunities for investment in our trade sector employees for and job opportunities for our youth, so that we can incentivize those job opportunities and grow those trade sector and career technical education sectors within Oregon and our country. As we have a number of our baby boomers are retiring out, these are jobs that can't be taken with just AI. There actually need to be boots on the ground, and we need to help incentivize those employers so that we can get our youth into those positions and have the generational workforce that is critically needed across the country.
Now, you do have a contested primary. How would you rate yourself versus your opponents in the primary?
I never really talk about my opponents whenever I'm running for office. It's just something I've never really done. I would just ask the residents and Oregonians to look at our experience and the ability to have the relationships to win in November. And one of the key factors in that is the ability to raise resources to challenge an incumbent, which is something that I have been tried, true, and tested in my years in running for county commissioner and state representative and state senator. But more importantly, I want to really let people know how critically important it is, again, to have a qualified candidate at the top of the ballot that can not only raise resources, but can give the results that are necessary. And what I mean by partnerships in winning, it's similar to something that Representative Hanna and Representative Freeman did back in 2010 when they brought balance to the Oregon legislature and the 30-30 split, where it was Co-Speaker Hanna and Co-Speaker Roblin in 2011-12. And you have a situation where the plan is, and I've talked to our gubernatorial candidates, I've talked to Congresswoman candidate Despain, I've talked to Representative Osborne and Representative Scarlatos and about this plan, and really it's a coordinated effort, because Republicans have opportunities to move forward with solutions to bring affordability, to bring accountability to Oregonians. And we all can realize that Oregon has been put in a ditch with Governor Kotek as a decade as Speaker of the House and then 3.5 years as governor. And Senator Merkley has been right there assisting in these policies from D.C. that has put Oregon in this ditch. And so I want you to envision the opportunity to have individuals be invited to the Roseburg High School gym. And these just aren't Republicans, but there's the, you know, a million across the state registered voters that are not affiliated with any party. 12.5% of the individuals that signed the no tax referendum that put that $4.3 billion gas tax that Governor Kotek shoved through the legislature on the ballot were Democrats, 12.5%. And so we focus on inviting those individuals to these community meetings. And then you have the opportunity to have, of course, Representative or the commissioner speak about the things that they're working on to better Douglas County. Of course, Representative Osborne speaking about what he's working on in his legislature to assist not only the commissioners, but to help the residents of Douglas County and his district. And then you have our gubernatorial nominee, governor Republican nominee, talk about how he or she can assist as the candidate, as a governor in the governor's office. And then you have Congresswoman candidate Monique Despain come and talk about how she can assist from the U.S. House of Representatives. And then you have me talking about how I can assist in these actions to, again, make Oregonians and more focused in Douglas County and that district more affordable and hold accountable not only the Oregon government, but the federal government in doing so. And then we do that in every district around the state in a coordinated effort, bringing a message of hope, bringing a message of affordability and accountability again to Oregonians, and those Oregonians being those disenfranchised Democrats, non-affiliated voters. And if we do this around Oregon, Kyle, and those listening, we will win. And it's one of the reasons why it's so important to have a candidate like myself that understands these issues at the top of the ballot, that can coordinate these efforts with our Republican legislators and candidates across the state to get it done.
Less than a minute left on Inside Douglas County. State Senator David Brock Smith running for the Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate race, the winner facing Senator Jeff Merkley. As we wrap up, how do people find out more about your campaign for U.S. Senate?
Well, thank you, Kyle. Please visit davidbrocksmithfororegon.com. That is my campaign website. And I look forward to seeing you soon. I'm in Salem today. I got to go in and do some legislative work. I have to be in Newport first thing in the morning for to work on the Blue Economy Task Force, where we're trying to focus on being able to showcase and grow our coastal economies surrounded by our fishing communities and their businesses. And then I will be back in district.
All right, out of time for now. State Senator David Brock Smith, thanks for being on.
Thank you, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 1230 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.